Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Mile High Five podcast. I am Doug Cunnington, and today we're going to talk about Introvert's Guide to Economy, because economy is coming up, or conferences in general. And I have my good friend, JT, sitting with me today. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a good day.
Thanks for coming over. And I invited you because I think you identify as an introvert. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. No, for sure. I might be an introverted extrovert, if that makes sense. I like talking to people, but it does like tend to drain me. And so I certainly need some time to kind of do my own thing as well.
Mm-hmm. And I'll talk about myself in a second and how I quote identify, but who are you, JT? Some folks may know you from campfires and some other activities here and there, but what are you all about?
Yeah. So we are recent migrants to Longmont, Colorado. We recently moved here from Texas. So now we're here. I am still employed, working in the job that I like and that I get to do interesting work in. And while we're hanging around here, I hang out with the family and do a lot of running and enjoy all of Longmont's fine brewery establishments. Mm.
We've definitely shared a few pints here and there. And one cool thing that you introduced me to, we'll keep this real short. I don't want to go on too many tangents here. But in December, I had a beer every single day, and you're a reason for that. So what's this thing you put together and invited me to? And I appreciate that.
Yeah. While we were in Texas, I saw an advertisement for a local kind of beer festival, brewery festival thing. And I thought, man, I could kind of do this on my own and cheaper. And it'd be kind of cool if we could do it kind of over the Advent season, kind of that December timeframe. Mm. So what I did for a number of years with some friends back in Texas was to say, hey, everybody box up and like package up individual beers, put them in a box. I'll mix them all up. And then everybody will get 24 beers for the first few weeks in December to drink kind of whenever you want. And they're all going to be a mystery to you because you won't get any of your beers back. And I did that for a few years there. We moved out here. It was so much fun. And I know so many people in Longmont who also like beer that I decided to go ahead and bring that experience with me to Longmont.
Lots of fun. Love the variety. Elizabeth and I did split that, so we weren't drinking, because some of them are big. They're like tall boy kind of cans or bottles or whatever. And sometimes pretty high ABV. So super fun. And since the new year, I've been trying to cut back a lot after that super fun December drinking every day. So, okay, let's get to the topic at hand. We're talking, you know, if you're introverted, this will give you several actionable ideas to help you through economy if you happen to be going there. So it's coming up in March. It sold out months ago. And the reality is it's a big event in that there's about 500 or so people.
Yeah.
So I know many of the listeners out there are probably not going to economy, but you may be going to some other conference or maybe a Camp Fi or some other event. Maybe it's like a Choose FI local group where it's not going to be a huge number of people, but if you're introverted, like I understand that could be a little bit scary because you potentially know zero people there. Now, you mentioned you're an introvert or an introverted extrovert. Is that something that you like just identify as where you're like, I'm going to go to an event, but you're thinking I'm an introvert?
Yeah, it is a challenge. And I think it's been a challenge for a lot of the people in the FI community that I've met, where we want to get together with other people who are interested in personal finance. And I think more broadly than just like the nuts and bolts of dealing with money, though we're certainly interested in that, and thinking about like how do we want our lives to look in the future and what role do we want money and work and family to play in that. So on one hand, we really want that community and those discussions. You know, we want to be able to talk to other people about it. But a lot of us also do tend to be introverted. Mm-hmm. There's still, I think, a lot of that stereotypical kind of engineer, you know, kind of mindset where we like the numbers, but we think people are messy and they're challenging. And I don't it's not a system that I can understand as well as, you know, how to do Roth conversions or backdoor Roth IRAs or stuff like that. That's easy for me to understand, and people are not. So there is a tension in wanting to spend time with other people who have the same kind of interests and not entirely being sure how to deal with people, especially in large groups.
Well said. I like one thing that you did implicitly or explicitly. I don't know. I'm not that great with words, folks. And then I'll tell you how I did it. And I think this could be a key thing. So you were like, I'm an introvert. I mean, I fed you the question, right? But you were like, I'm an introverted extrovert. You reframed it. And I think we hear people say, I'm so introverted, especially in like content creator space. Turns out, like a lot of podcasters or YouTubers, they're pretty introverted. Like overall, yeah. They're used to just kind of working solo, like small groups or whatever. And up until, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, I was like, yeah, I'm introverted. That's what people say. And I was like, ah, I'm introverted. Yeah. And then I was like, I don't think I am. I think I'm an ambivert, and I could like step in and step out. And sometimes, you know, it exhausts me, and other times it doesn't. And sometimes I want to go walk in the woods for, you know, 6 hours by myself. And other times I want to do that same hike with like 10 people. So I can step in and step out, but I basically, in my head, I stopped saying I'm an introvert.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, like I don't have to, like, that's not my identity. I could do whatever I want. Sometimes I want to talk to people, sometimes not. And I think if you stop identifying as an introvert and you don't put a label on yourself, then it kind of frees you up. So when you say you're an introverted extrovert, did you have that in mind? Or you were just like, sometimes I'm in, sometimes I'm out?
I think more for me, it's that I really do like talking to people. There's a lot of context that's involved for me though. So if I'm in, if I'm at a party or something with a bunch of people who I know, I just know I'm never going to see you again. Right. It's some baby shower for, you know, a friend of a friend or someone who lives in a different town, or it's a professional event that happens once every year, 18 months. Like, it's really challenging for me to want to put a bunch of effort into building those relationships with people, because for better or worse, and oftentimes probably for worse, it feels like this is just an amount of my fairly limited social energy that's just going to, I'm just going to drop into a hole and never going to see it again. Mm-hmm. But I find for things like Economy or Campfy, and I know you've seen this in a lot of other people as well, you walk into there and it's a bunch of people who want to either talk nuts and bolts of money, or they want to talk about, here's how I'm thinking about my life or my business or my job or my hobbies, you know, and I want to really be intentional about working on these things. In an environment like that, it's a lot easier, I think, for me to open up and be more invested, even if they might be people that I know, look, the odds that I'm going to run into you regularly are pretty small. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of context, I think, for me that's involved in how much energy I find I'm either willing or wanting to put into, you know, any given social situation.
Perfect. Okay. So as you mentioned before, there are a lot of self-identified introverts in the Phi community. We hear that like when we go to Camp Phi or Economy, and then all of a sudden after whatever, 2 or 3 hours, those people won't shut up. And I'm like, ah, oh, you're not an introvert. You just haven't met the right folks, or like whatever magic thing happens and they like open up and they like feel connected to, like they feel fine and they fucking love it. So we're going to give some tips, a couple prereqs, and I know it'll be hard to actually do this. This is like a reminder for myself. So number one, for these events, stay hydrated. Drink a lot, yeah, of water. There's often beers going around. I'm certainly guilty of this. And I have no, I tried to drink earlier in the day. All right. So it might be lunchtime. I'll start drinking then.
Yeah.
I'll close up shop earlier and then hopefully I'll sleep better. That's another thing. Get enough sleep. I've done this a couple times. The first night, you're so excited. You stay up too late. You have too many drinks. And then you're just kind of, you're hungover for the next 3 days.
Yeah, you can't catch up.
It's very hard. So don't blow it out on the first night. Be disciplined. There will be other days to stay up late. And side note, specifically for economy and potentially Camp Fi as well, Sunday is the good day to sort of blow it out. So you have your other days done. You're going to be traveling the next day on Monday. So Sunday is a good day if you're going to stay up late and party, or, you know, again, stay hydrated, have your electrolytes, have vitamins. Any prerequisite tips like that for that kind of thing?
You've mentioned it before in some other context, but be careful to protect your voice as well. if you spend all of the first night up late drinking in a room with a ton of people and you have to yell to like make yourself heard, now you are hungover, tired, and you have no voice. And that's going to make the rest of your weekend really, really tough.
Yeah. Bring cough drops or lozenges or whatever. That is a pro move. It took me a couple years to figure this out. Little known fact, I think, Brad, you may hear this, but Brad Barrett, I was standing with him at economy and he forgot cough drops. And I think I gave him like 30 cough drops. So have some handy for yourself. Bring some for a friend, because it's really tough. And I literally will lose my voice after about a day of this. So if you're a longtime listener, you've heard me record after a couple days of yelling at people at a loud bar. I often will just ask people to like come with me to a different location where it's quieter. Hell, I even do this at HQ because like that's a echo chamber. And if you get 10 people in there, you can't hear anyone else, or I can't. And I can't yell at people. I have a weak voice. It's my least manly quality, Elizabeth tells me. She's like, oh, dude.
Do you find people are often willing to go to secluded locations with you to have private conversations?
Yeah, I'm like, hey, you know, it's really quiet in this back stall over here. We should head back here in the restroom. No, it is usually pretty easy because other people struggle, but I end up like, it physically hurts.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. Okay. So those prerequisites, drink lots of water. Don't drink too much. Don't stay up too late. All the kind of, you know, be mature out there. And remind, if you see me, fucking remind me, because I'm not going to take my own advice. Okay. You want to hit the first one here, JT?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the first point we had was don't worry. And there can be a lot of anxiety for someone who considers themselves an introvert to go to something, especially like economy, especially if they don't really know anyone, that there's 500 people here and I have no idea who any of them are. And they're all going to be really close friends with each other. Right. And you can just build up a lot of anxiety, even like showing up at one of these things. I think for this, especially with this crowd, like this is not like a professional event where people are there to, you know, network and improve their career or something. These are all events that people who are really interested in financial independence are going because they want to meet new people, build new relationships, and have these conversations. So the crowd is going to be, you know, a group of people who want to be there and meet you and meet other people and have conversations.
Eloquently said.
Yeah.
No, that was good. I think there's a couple like structured things that happen that make it a little bit less scary. So again, at economy or FinCon, there's even more. Like economy, there's 500 people. Like the thing is, you're not going to be able to meet 500 people unless you make that your only goal, which is not a good goal, by the way. So you're probably going to meet, you know, dozens of people, and it'll be through the whole weekend. Sometimes you'll pass them in the hall. Sometimes you'll see them at breakfast. And sometimes, you know, you're just going to see people you pass and you never even talk to them. And that's totally fine. But at the very beginning, I think the first night at economy, there's speed friendshipping. It's a structured way to meet, I think probably about, trying to remember, I think it's like 12 or 18 people. Like you switch tables. Yeah. You're at a big round table. Each person talks for about 2 minutes. You move around and rotate. So you're not going to connect with everyone, but you'll probably have like 2 to 3 interesting people that you're like, oh, I have a lot of common with that person, or we have a similar background or whatever. And you'll be able to hopefully remember them. You can take notes, there's little notepads, and you'll be able to connect with them later, or when you see them at lunch or something, you can go say hi. And the other part, like trying to remember names and the difficulty of that, you have lanyards on with your name on there the whole time. Like, wear it, don't forget to bring it. Cause like, if you're like, oh, I'm just going to leave it in cause it's not a specific event, like wear them when you go out to lunch. Cause like, it's just, there's too many people to actually try to remember everybody's name. Some people are really good at it, but at some point it's kind of unmanageable. So
yeah, I expect FinCon's a little different because it is a professional conference rather than like mostly a social conference, but Economy, CampFi, I expect, you know, Camp Mustache and some of those, the people who put those on have an interest in you coming and making new friends. And so they'll usually have some kind of activity, and I get it. It's going to feel silly. You're going to feel a little dumb and a little awkward, but I'd encourage you to not just skip those things and just kind of suck it up and go do it anyway. You know, Steven at CampFi does the name game, and everybody who's been to a CampFi is like, oh God, I got to go do the name game again. And it's awkward and it's strange and it feels uncomfortable. And then by the time you're done, miraculously, you know everybody's name, which helps a lot. And, you know, same with the lanyards. Like, you feel a little silly, like having your name there, but it helps everybody else come up and talk to you. And if everybody's wearing the name tag or the lanyard, it helps you like not have to be like, oh man, I met this person, you know, 3 hours ago. What was their name? You can just look and it's right there. And it saves a lot of time.
Side note on names. I'm probably average at remembering names, although with the name game, turns out I'm decent at that. And it made me happy that like I can actually remember. I mean, people are way better at that than what they think they're going to be. And if you just pay attention, I mean, it's not too hard to remember people's names if you just kind of think about it. Anyway, that's just with the name game. 30 minutes later, I fucking forgot. All right. So be straight with that. But the thing is, when I forget someone's name, and I'm, even if I know I like had beers with him the day before for like 2 hours, I'll be like, I'm sorry. Like, I forget your name. I was obviously drinking too much, but I forgot your name. And what is it? And it shows that you care, that you're trying to remember their name. It's not like we're intentionally like trying to piss people off by not remembering their names. And a lot of people will say, I'm not that good at remembering names. So like, if you ask, like, it's totally cool. I think you could probably do it 2 or 3 times and it won't offend someone. When you get past like 6, I think people would be like, all right, come on, you gotta remember my name. It's on the lanyard, you know,
it's
on the lanyard.
It's right there. So,
okay. Couple things that kind of go together here. Take breaks if you need to. So one cool thing with Economy and CampFi, there's a lot of open space. And me personally, at most events, I will just disappear for 1 to 2 hours to get a little shut eye / take a nap. Sometimes I actually fall asleep. But if I don't, at least I was just like in a quiet, dark room for like an hour or so. And that helps me, especially because I typically don't sleep as well on the road, no matter where I'm at. Don't have that awesome ghost bed Lux, by the way. But yeah, I just disappear. And that said, sometimes I end up skipping things because of that. So we only have so much time. You have to get rest. You need downtime for whatever, you know, you're going to work out, do some other stuff. So basically you're going to miss things. So it's not, you don't have to go to everything. And you should feel fine, like skipping things to do things so that you don't like have an anxiety attack or whatever. So what do you do as far as taking breaks?
Yeah. So I don't typically go take naps, though I think it's a great idea. Maybe I should start. Sometimes I'll go though and like exercise. Like the first day of Economy last year, I just went to the gym in the hotel and did my workout, and I think I spent some time on the treadmill and spent some time with whatever set of weights they had available to get some stuff done. But just taking some of that time to do the parts of your normal routine that help keep you feeling good and just feeling on top of things. There can be a temptation to think, oh man, I'm going to this thing. It's only a few days. I need to do all of it. Or I haven't made the most of the experience, or, you know, for us, I haven't made the best use of the money that I spent to be here. And I think that could be a little bit of a trap. The organizers want to be sure that there's enough for people to do at any time, but that certainly doesn't mean you have to go do all of it. So, you know, if you miss something, odds are pretty good you can go back, right, the next year and find something to, you know, pick up the things that maybe you didn't get to do this time around.
Hey, it's Doug here from The Edit, and I wanted to pop in because Economy is coming up in a few weeks, and I'm very excited to see people there. I know, honestly, we're fortunate that there's enough listeners out there that most of you won't be attending, so I'm sorry that you won't be there. But if you are going to Economy, number one, shoot me an email, doug@milehighfi.com, and make sure that you let me know that you're going to be there. Feel free, like I've said, come walk up and talk to me and all that kind of stuff. I also want to give a plug for my friend Rich Bernstein. He has been a listener for a long time, and he is my friend over at Ghostbed. So he asked a few times to sponsor the show. At the time, Carl and I were like, no, we're going to try to do Buy Me a Coffee. And Rich insisted. And we were eventually like, okay, Ghostbed has been a wonderful partner. But the reason why I'm telling you this is Rich will be at Economy. So if you see Rich, go talk to him. He loves to chat with people, and he's just, you know, one of the, you know, normal attendees over there. If you happen to have a mattress related question, you of course can ask him about it. But really, just like everyone, he's there to hang out. So if you see Rich, go talk to him. He may be sitting right next to me, hanging out or walking along, you know, the urban hike or whatever other activities are going on. So let's get back to the show. Go talk to Rich if you see him. And one other note, I talked about skipping things and, you know, basically not having to do everything that's scheduled. You can also make up your own thing. So quick example, I'll give two quick examples. So maybe you're super into Cincinnati style chili, Skyline chili. JT, what are your thoughts real quick? Just short.
I don't know why you would be.
All right, never mind. So check this chili out. If you haven't heard of it, you could find like some Food Network stuff on YouTube if you're unfamiliar. But basically, if you're super into chili and you're like, I want to check out all the different chilies in Cincinnati, you could put together a small group of like four people that are obsessed with chili and go to a couple places, super small group, and you could do it, you know, when something else is scheduled. Like there's an urban hike, and if you're like, I don't want to fucking walk around, I want to eat this chili, then you could do it that way.
It's a very questionable decision though.
Yeah.
Isn't the hike in the morning? I can't imagine Skyline at 9:30 in the morning.
A breakfast chili situation. Yeah. Be sure you bring your, sort of anti-diarrheal medicines or whatever. Great thing to bring up in a podcast. Anyway, so that's one thing. Or let's say you're super into, I like guitars and stuff. And a lot of times there'll be like specialty shops. So maybe there's a few people that are interested in whatever records or instruments. And you could be like, I'm going to these three shops. We'll go hang out, blah, blah, blah. I don't think Cincinnati is known for their guitar shops, but like if you go to Nashville, it's like, you could do that. There's a bunch of cool shops around there. So you can make up your own little event and just keep it like super small. Say, hey, I'm doing this thing. I'm checking all the vegan restaurants in town, whatever. Okay. Moving on. Or do you have anything else on that kind of stuff? Taking breaks?
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that's great.
There's a lot of open time to chat at Economy and really any event that you're going to. There's going to be people in the hallway that are also skipping the main things going on. Or at Economy, there's a lot of like hotel lobby hangout for many, many hours. And there will be people on the side, not talking to anyone, hoping that someone will talk to them, basically. So this is like a kind of a more advanced thing. But if you see someone on the sideline and you're not talking to anyone, just go walk up to them and introduce yourself and start a conversation. It seems a little scary, but at least in that situation, it's one-on-one and you're helping that person out. You could kind of view it that way if you're a little nervous to do it. Have you observed this in, you know, conferences, whatever you've gone to?
I'm usually the person who's on the sideline.
Okay.
So I think when I think about that, there's a couple of objections that spring immediately to mind. Mm. So I'm hoping maybe you could address them, right? So one is, if I'm the person in the group or just the person who's walking in and I see someone on the sideline, I wonder, what if this person and I, we just don't really mesh and this person doesn't realize it. And now I've walked into this room, I found the person on the sideline, and now I'm trapped for the next hour and a half as they talk about things that I'm not necessarily interested in.
I have done that. And yeah, you're right. Sometimes people can't tell a good story. It's just like too many details. This is going on forever. This is boring. I don't even care about the story part of it. So one thing that you can do, and I learned this from a book that I recently read, Super Communicators by Charles Duhigg. You can say, it's been great chatting with you, but I want to make sure I meet some other people because it's such a nice event. You don't have to give it a reason. You can just say like, hey, great talking to you. I want to make sure I chat with some other people today. And I'll see you around. That's it. Keep it short. You don't have to make a fucking excuse. You don't have to justify it. You could just be like, I want to meet other people.
But Doug, that person may not like me after that.
Well, they were telling boring stories anyway. So that's exactly the vibe you want to give off.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that, yeah. I mean, like I want to meet other people. And by the way, that's a valid thing to say, even if you like are having a good conversation, because the thing is like, you only have limited time and you met one person, unless they're super, super awesome. Like you may want to make sure you make the rounds.
Is there a technique also where you can be like, hey, there's that person who's standing against the wall. Let's go talk to them. Oh, now I need to go.
That one. Yep. So I've pulled that one on Carl many a time.
Sure.
So, oh yeah. Have you met Carl over here? And then actually that is a nice thing to do. So we're framing this in a kind of a poor way, but
perhaps I started with the wrong objection.
No, it's good though. Cause this is real, but you can, 100%. You can introduce other people together. And that's a good way to just like bridge the gap and like form a larger group. You may have an ulterior motive where you're like, all right, get together. I need to use the restroom. I need water. I just peed my pants. I don't know. You make up a thing and then you could step away. Hopefully it's a group of people. So it's not like you're just like putting your sick in some person telling bad stories on Carl, you know, although he's always down for that. Yeah. So
objection number two, which probably in hindsight should have been the one that I started with. Right. So in my head, I see someone who's over there. And here is how the conversation goes in my head before I've ever had the conversation. Hi, I'm JT. Hi, I'm Doug. Where are you from, Doug? I'm from Atlanta. Where are you from, JT? I'm from Longmont.
Okay.
Really long pause.
So this brings us to our next thing. You can get that small talk out of the way pretty quick. You could also just avoid it completely. It's good to have a list, perhaps mentally. You could write it down on a piece of paper and keep it in your pocket in case you feel a little nervous to forget them or something. But basically have sort of open-ended questions that you can ask people that should mostly be relevant to most people. And it kind of gives you a jumping off point. So the questions that you mentioned before, those typically are just like closed and ended questions that don't elicit a story, but you could reframe questions so that it's more open-ended. So a couple that we can just tell you, how did you learn about Phi? That's pretty easy. What does your ideal post-Phi lifestyle look like? Some of these are deeper. So like you may not want to open with these. You have to go a little bit deeper than that. Have you done any like mini retirements or sabbaticals on your journey? How do you feel about budgeting? Like, do you budget? Do you use an app? That kind of thing. Again, these are kind of open-ended, but do you have any specific like go-to questions where like you just met somebody, you don't want to talk about the weather or something like that?
Although the weather in Cincinnati is is frequently very interesting. Yeah, I think there are, you know, if you want to focus on the FI things, economy, everybody will certainly have things to talk about, you know, around that. I think other options could be to ask about, hey, what are some things that you really like about where you live? What are, you know, what are some of the things you like to do outside of work if you work, or just as life if you're not working now? I found at Economy last year, you almost ended up with just like a longer small talk piece. So you'd go through, you know, here's my name, here's where I'm from, here's how I heard about FI, right? Here's how I ended up at this conference. And then you still sort of ended up at that same like awkward place, almost like in college where you asked, hey, what's your hometown? What's your major? Okay, now where do we go from here? So maybe it could be useful to either have things that you're interested in learning about, like some of the things we talked about here. You know, have you done any mini retirements or sabbaticals? Like, if that's something you're curious about right now, that could be an interesting question to ask, or to try to figure out what they're interested in. Nobody is an introvert talking about something that they're really passionate about. Mm. So if you find, like, if I wanted to come ask you about homebrewing, I bet you have hours of conversation to talk about. And even if I don't necessarily know a lot about homebrewing, like maybe I could ask, you know, follow-up questions or further things. So finding, you know, something that maybe you don't know a lot about, but they do, and that they're really interested in, that could be an interesting direction to go if it's a conversation that you'd like to go longer.
Mm-hmm. One sort of approachable question, you know, like, how did you hear about Economy is decent, or like, how many economies have you been to? And once you start thinking about like deeper questions, so like you're feeling out the experiences that the person had. So it's like, oh, what made you come back to Economy?
Yeah.
Like, what was most memorable? Did you meet any specific people that you're like reconnected with or whatever? But one that you probably can ask everyone is around like a FI related book or podcast or blog.
Oh yeah.
And usually you'll have some jumping off point where you either know that piece of content and you're like, I really like this, what did you think about that? And then you like sort of narrow it down. You know, think of it like a funnel where you're like asking questions and you're narrowing down an area where you're both interested. And honestly, for me, it ends up not being any finance related stuff when I'm chatting with people. So it's usually like lifestyle or sleeping or food. I had a super long conversation with someone about Alton Brown, Good Eats. You know that show?
Mm-hmm.
Good Eats. And I just got his new book. I think it's up here on the, I think it's the one on the top here. It's called Food for Thought. It's you know, collection of essays and stuff. But we talked probably for like 2 hours. I don't even remember any of it because it was pretty late. I had a couple beers that day. Yeah. I think I stayed up till like 2 or 3 in the morning talking about like food and stuff, not anything finance related.
Do you recommend that people open their questions with, what's your feeling on asparagus and why is it the best vegetable? Just to see if they are also Mile High Fi listeners.
That's a great idea. You guys could do that out there in the crowd and filter through. I will have a lot of stickers.
Oh yeah, you make great stickers.
Yeah, so there's that. I don't have too many around over there.
There's a Georgie sticker over here.
Yeah, there's Georgie stickers. I got Mile High Fi stickers, yeah. But I also made these stickers with Carl's face and my face on there with Office Space quotes.
Oh yeah, they probably can't see it.
Yeah, they're kind of small, but like here. I'm going to bring a bunch of those. Those are collector's items now.
Yeah,
Carl left the show, of course, but I made those just 1 week before he quit. So I got a lot of those, but you could put those on your lanyard and then people will know, like, hey, you're a listener of the show. So that'll be cool if that actually happens.
I think I may open every conversation by pulling up my folded 8.5 by 11 sheet of questions out of my pocket, opening it up in front of them, and then saying, what is the best vegetable and why is it asparagus? And then just folding it back up and putting it back in my pocket.
And hopefully somehow there will be asparagus served out there. Yeah. I think some people bring asparagus to Carl and I.
Yeah.
Which is fun. So
see, if Skyline served asparagus, then maybe I would go.
We'll make that happen. Okay, before we move on, we got to thank Ghost Bed. They've been great supporters. And that's one thing that would actually improve my sleep on the road is if I could bring my Lux mattress around. It's kind of soft, keeps me cool. It's pretty great. Now, are you a good sleeper, JT?
I can be a good sleeper. I tend to be a good sleeper at home because I've spent quite a bit of time, as we've discussed in another context. You know, I've got the sleep mask and I've got the chili pad and I've got the lights all out and like all the lights taped over and stuff like that in our room. And that has made me a good sleeper. But on the road, especially the first night, I tend to not sleep very well. And some of it might be the mattress, because you never know in those hotels. Like, is the mattress going to be softer than I like or firmer than I like? Or the pillow is going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. It's all going to be brand new.
Yeah, it's very difficult. The other part is, like, I'm just mentally stimulated from talking to all the people. And, like, of course, you're in a different environment. But, yeah, it's just my mind is racing. And a lot of times I'll just like wake up through the night thinking about like conversations that I've had. So it's really tough. And I'm not sure there's much else I could do other than, you know, take the naps if I need to. Now I'm a little more mature. I will disappear and just go to bed a little bit earlier. And usually that helps, but like still I'm kind of wound up from all the activity and stuff. But yeah, just curious, what do you sleep in typically?
No, I just have just pajamas. Depends on the weather, whether it's shorts and a short sleeve shirt or pants and a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah, I dress for the season too. Yeah. All right. Yeah, and I actually have really enjoyed like Christmas PJs over the past little bit. Of course, we're recording this earlier in the year, so I haven't put them up yet. Like they just look joyful. And you've, you know, side note, you've actually seen me in these PJs.
Yeah, yeah. Do you get a new pair of PJs every year for Christmas, or do you have like a set that you just break out every year? It's an annual tradition.
So it comes out. I have two sets. This is the second year, so I could see maybe another couple years or so, but at some point it'll be too much. Like, I don't need to have a bunch of different pairs of PJs. So, but they're pretty comfy. And we were, side note, he has seen me. That's true. You saw me in the PJs.
They were very nice.
We were
very festive.
A little guy's trip out to the mountains recently. So that's why. And I was like, oh, this would be pretty funny if I wear PJs. So, okay. Thanks to GhostBed. Please check it out if you're interested in upgrading your mattress. They have a full range of products, including frames, like one of those adjustable frame situations, and all the bedding and other pillows and anything you need to sleep better. For the mattresses, you have a 101-night at-home sleep trial, 20-year warranty, and you can save 50% site-wide with the code MILEHIFI at checkout, or you can go to ghostbed.com/MILEHIFI. To get that 50% off. So let's hit.
I think your solution, Doug, really is whenever you go to a conference, you take your mattress and you put it in your truck and you drive to the conference and ask the hotel to take the mattress off the bed and put the ghost bed on the hotel bed while you're there.
That would be amazing. I'll just throw it on top, have a double high mattress there.
I don't know what Elizabeth would do when your mattress is gone, but I think that would solve your conference sleeping issues.
I'm sure she'd just figure it out.
Just have your ghost bed wherever you want.
Just bring it everywhere. Maybe I could just put it in the back of the truck and just sleep there, get a topper for the back and sleep in the back of the truck, save some cash.
That might work at some events, but it can be really cold in Cincinnati and in March. I'm not sure that's an every year kind of solution.
They don't scare people about the weather. I have heard people say, oh, Cincinnati in March. I'm like, it's not bad. It's like, it's not bad at all.
It was pretty nice last year.
Yeah. Every now, I mean, all right, I'll be honest. I think it snowed like most years. Like there's always some flurries, but not much accumulation. It could be, bring a jacket. And the thing is, I usually stay at the Fairfield. What hotel are you going to be at this time?
I'm at the Solari.
Okay. Yeah. This is a new one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right next to the Fairfield, there's a Target. So it's just like,
it's right next door. I can get whatever you need.
Head over there. I get some fruits, you know, so I don't, you know, just eat horrible food the whole time. And the other pro tip, this goes into don't drink too much. I got some non-alcoholic beer last year and, you know, it's not a replacement for the flavor and inebriation that you get from an actual alcoholic drink. But I do like to just have something in my hand sipping. And, you know, if you have like a beer and then a non-alcoholic beer, unfortunately, you're getting the calories still, but you're like hydrating. And it was a great move. I shared it with a few other people. I think like Brian Feraldi, I handed him one and he was like, this is awesome. And I think he's kind of adopted them too. So get non-alcoholic stuff. Again, stay hydrated. Can't emphasize it enough. All right. Let's keep on moving here. I think we got some more advanced tips here. So I kind of mentioned this before in some of the like more ninja moves that you can do, but sometimes you will walk up and there's a lot of small groups and maybe you're like, I don't want to talk to the person off to the side. They got to work it out on their own.
we're all in this together, man.
But you see a group and you're like, oh, those are people that I want to meet. I think I saw them before. Don't be afraid to interrupt. I basically almost exclusively do this. I'm like, hi, I'm Doug. Is it okay if I interrupt you and join your group? Most people are not jerks and they will say, yes, you could join. And we happen to be talking about this topic. And then you could observe and see if you want to get involved in the conversation or just as an introvert, just kind of chill out and listen. And maybe someone will ask you your opinion. And then you could kind of just be in the group, but not have to be like an active talker the whole time.
You seem like maybe you've done a little bit of experimentation around this. Mm-hmm. So what has been your experience in walking up to a group and saying, you know, hi, I'm Doug. Is it okay if I interrupt and join your group? Versus walking up to a group, standing about 4 inches outside the circle and just listening awkwardly while they continue their conversation. What has been more productive for you?
Yeah, definitely the more assertive one.
Okay.
Where you like, you have a little confidence and you do say, hey, can I interrupt you? And you literally like, you are interrupting them, but it's like, they're like, oh yeah, I get it. Now, conversely, if you are in a group, inevitably you will see someone 4 inches away standing there. Like they're kind of looking away. Like I'm not even in this group, but they're like trying to butt in. Invite them in the fucking group. They are trying to get in there. Like, hey, what's going on? Hey, JT, like, come on in here. Why are you staring at the wall? Come on in here. And then we're talking about this. So invite people in. They want to get into your group.
There's a very good chance that person is me. Really? Like
I've done that.
Walking up to a small group of like 5 or 6 or 8 people is one of the most terrifying social situations for me. So I'm like, there's all these people who are like, who knows if they've been, nobody there is, but they've been like best friends since they were 12 and you know, they're all having this really intimate conversation with each other in the middle of the main hall and economy. I don't know why they choose to do that, right? But it feels like such an intrusion into something.
Yeah.
I'm like, who am I to just like walk in and be like,
Hey,
clearly my input is needed into this conversation. So here I am.
It's pretty funny. And like I said, I have done the, you know, stand outside the group, hope people will invite you in. And usually, so if you see people crying, don't go to that group. Go to the ones where people are laughing.
Yeah.
We're like, oh yeah, come on in. We were just talking about this cancer diagnosis kind of thing. Like, you know, you don't want to that's a bummer. You don't want to get into that conversation anyway. But, you know, you see people laughing, having a good time. Try to pop in there. For the people that are in the group and you see someone on the outside, you know, you one thing you can do, because obviously you probably know a couple of the folks, people will have their lanyard on. You'll see their name and you could be like, hey, JT, have you met like person over here? Even though there's like six people, just say like, hey, have you met Bill over here? And then they get integrated into the group and they feel included. So like really help people out. Like there's always people on the side, even if they're not trying to nose their way in, like say, hey, you know, come on over here if you want to.
Yeah. So, help out your fellow introverts.
Yeah. I'm basically no one's going to turn you away. And I think if you're an introvert, you're not going to go in and like take over the conversation. Although, side note, I have heard some people say that they were introverts, but they will take over a conversation and turns into a train wreck.
Yeah.
And I think they're overcompensating for the fact that they're an introvert. So they just keep talking and they railroad everyone. Again, I think I've been pretty real in this episode. I fucking hate that when people take over a conversation, whether they're an introvert or extrovert or whatever, when they railroad people, especially if they're not self-aware, I walk away. Like I don't have time for it. So I don't think they do it on purpose, but it's not my fucking problem to like figure out why they're doing that. Have you observed this?
It certainly happens in some of the groups that you wander into. I don't know if you just find a topic that someone's just really excited about, or like you said, if they are normally like really introverted, like I'm going to do the group thing this time and they just way overdo it. If you notice that that is me, you are welcome to like, give me a little elbow to the side and be like, dude, shut up. Let other people talk. Like, that's okay. You are pre-approved to let me know rather than just walk away and be like, ah, this guy again.
So we'll start wrapping it up. I'm looking at the time up there and it's been flowing pretty good. We mentioned this before, getting out of a conversation. And the thing is like, we're framing it as like, get out of a conversation, but it can be like, just, you've been talking to someone for like 45 minutes. And you're still having a good time, but you're like, I do want to talk to other people. Yeah. And you literally use that super communicator's tip where it's just like, it's been great chatting with you. I want to make sure I chat with some other people. You don't have to make an excuse. It like, that is the reason. So you don't have to keep going. Just get out of there. One other advanced tip I didn't write on here, but when you're having a conversation, learn how to give kind of a proper answer, or when you're telling a story, it has a beginning and it has a middle and it has an end and it doesn't have 10 billion details that don't matter. This is a skill. This is more like a lifelong skill. And there's no like perfect answer length or anything like that. But if we're just thinking about it, think about this conversation we're having. Usually our answers are maybe like 1 minute to 3 minutes. And right. Then I pause and then I'm like, hey, what do you think? But like learn how to like tell a story / answer a question without it taking like 15 minutes. So a little more advanced. If you're an introvert, you probably don't have that problem. But yeah. Like just remember, stories have a beginning, middle, and an end. Jokes work that way too. It's like set up, punchline, boom, just do the thing. Do you think you're a good storyteller?
I think I'm an okay storyteller. I think maybe I've wondered sometimes if doing some like improv kind of thing would be useful for learning how to do that better.
Yeah. That's a good, I've heard, I think like Joe Saul Sihai, I think like he and his team took like acting lessons and like improv and like learned how to just kind of interact and like be funny and all that kind of stuff.
It seems like a cool way to both learn how to respond to what's going on around you without getting into that. Now, while you're talking, I'm going to be thinking about what I need to say next. Just make you more responsive to what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, I'm not saying I'm a super awesome question answer or storyteller, but it is something that I've thought about because I used to I couldn't tell stories worth a shit. I think I probably, if I did a job interview, I'd do much better now than I did when I actually needed a job, ironically. But don't let this freak you out. Just, you know, make your answers interesting and not too long. Like that's kind of the danger. Okay. As we're moving through here, one cool thing at conferences like this or Camp Vise is there will be content creators, meaning, you know, social media influencer types, podcasters, YouTubers, that kind of thing, people that where you consume their content and approach them, talk to them like they want to talk to you. You don't have to be shy about it. There's better ways to do this. And there's worse ways to do it. But what experience have you had with this? Because you, as a non-content creator, when we first met, it was at FinCon, which is actually like a creator event.
Yeah, I've found that the smaller the event, the easier this is to do, because it's less likely that, especially for bigger content creators, that they feel like they have to be in their creator persona and they can just be themselves in smaller environments. So something like a Camp Vise where there's 30, 50, 60 people, you know, if there's a bigger name in the content space, I found it easier to get into conversations than something like a FinCon where it seems like many of the content creators feel like they need to have the persona shield on maybe a little bit more. And then economy is kind of like, from my experience, has been kind of in the middle. You know, if it's a weird kind of side, or if it's like a side thing, you know, like people are hanging out at the hotel or something, then it's usually pretty easy. If it's, you know, right after, you know, a big main presentation or something, especially if it's the presenter, then it seems like they've got more of that almost like persona feel around them right in that moment. And it can be a lot harder to get into that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting now that I've like been a creator for a little while. And like when I showed up to events at first, I wasn't really a creator, or people didn't like know me, but a handful of people do. Especially, I mean, the thing is like you keep going to events, like more people will know you. It's interesting because a lot of content creators also consume content. So they like understand the relationship where like, if you listen to a podcast, you're like, I feel like I know that person. You've consumed like whatever, dozens or hundreds of hours of them talking. So you actually do kind of know them. And you could say that, I think, like we understand the relationship, but you could just be normal, like pretend like you're just meeting them for the first time. And that's totally cool. It's a little more in air quotes, like normal versus like if they reference, because the thing is like sometimes people will remember things that I say more than I remember it myself, which is kind of interesting. It means I blow a lot of hot air, I think. But overall, don't be afraid to approach the folks. They just want to hang out too. Like I met several people just like in the gym or at breakfast, or like it was just in a normal setting as people are hanging out for like 4 days straight. Like you're going to cross paths and come chat with me. One caveat, I mentioned it before, like my voice doesn't hold up that well. I'm like a little baby or something like that. So like I will want to chat with you. Please approach me. I'll look like pissed off and my arms crossed, bad body language, but I want to talk to you. So come up and I'll try to ask you questions. I want you to tell me stories versus like me talking so much. So just remember, if you come up to me, I love it, but I probably won't try to talk too much, especially if it's like a loud bar or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm trying to protect, you know, the moneymaker here.
How does it feel for you as a content creator? You know, you've been this podcast, this is how many, 4 years?
I think 4 years, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, people who have listened to this podcast since the beginning, if they've never met you in person before, there's still probably a very strong like parasocial relationship. Or like you mentioned, they feel like they know you, but you have absolutely no idea like who this person, you know, nothing about their life or their situation or all that. So what does it feel like to have, you know, someone who comes up with this weird anecdote based on a podcast episode you did a year and a half ago that really had an impact on them, but maybe you don't remember? And how might that be different from, you know, somebody who may not have known that you did podcasts at all and just walked up to you randomly at one of these conferences.
It feels good overall. Like, cause I mean, obviously I'm taking time to create this stuff. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like it is impactful. Sometimes I know it's just like a throwaway episode kind of thing. I mean, you produce a lot of content. This one.
No,
this one's really useful. I think people are going to reference it for years. I mean, yeah, from an egotistical perspective, like it feels good that like someone found something that I did helpful, especially if it like helped change their life, which is more rare for me. I will big shout out to Carl. Like a lot of people that were guests on the show emailed Carl and basically were like, you changed my life because I read your blog.
Yeah.
And I was a recipient of like just the people reaching out to him. And I got to benefit by meeting those people and like seeing the impact that he had. So yeah, it's pretty cool when that happens. And as I said, like as a podcast consumer, I understand the parasocial relationship. What I tend to do, because I met, you know, in air quotes, like famous podcasters and other people. Basically, if you just act normal and not that impressed with them, like if you start like tiptoeing around and like treating them like a celebrity,
right?
It's a little bit weirder than like when I first met Pete, Mr. Money Mustache. He gave me a tour of the co-working space. I let him do his, you know, little tour, and I wasn't like, I read all your blog and all this other stuff like that, which actually I didn't read his blog before. So that was an easier one, but I knew who he was.
Right.
And he was on the news and stuff, like national news. So like the more normal you can act, the better. Now, obviously Pete has like a body of work that even if I'm not a avid reader, you could appreciate and compliment, say, hey, I know you've done a lot of stuff and this particular thing was impactful. Great way to approach it. You know, does that answer part of the question?
Yeah. I think one other note I took here, it's possibly quite self-serving, but I'm going to go with it anyway, is if, you know, your interest in approaching content creators is to recognize the influence that they had in your life or, you know, how much you enjoy whatever they're making, then clearly there's no substitute for that. If part of your interest is like, hey, this seems like a person that I kind of know, even though you kind of don't, which could be true for a lot of introverts, like I feel like there's a connection here, then another option might be to either go find guests on some of these podcasts who aren't content creators themselves. Like I think your show is great for that. Like you have a bunch of guests who are content creators and a bunch of other guests who are just like people that you've met. Mm-hmm. These are people who are clearly interested in like publicizing at least parts of their story. So they're probably open to talk to you at a conference. You have some like relationship with them. So that could be, you know, and they're not going to have a bunch of people like, you know, like Pete or Carl who are maybe mobbing them at some of these opportunities. They may be a little more available. Mm-hmm. And then another option would be to meet people in different groups. I know you have a Facebook group. You could possibly tell me the URL for that Facebook group if you remember it.
MileHighFi.com/Facebook.
Oh, great.
I made it easy. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great. I know there are other groups, you know, Choose FI has a bunch of Facebook groups. Bigger Pockets Money has a Facebook group. So if, you know, you're involved in those groups, you could see maybe who in those groups are going to some of these events and make a plan to, hey, let's meet up sometime and have a conversation. And that might be another way to kind of have a primed relationship, you know, or something to start with when you're just in there and you look at a crowd of 500 people that you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Good tip. So, and I'll distill that down. You want people to come up and talk to you?
Absolutely. I love people coming up and talking to me. But, you know, not just me. You've had lots of great guests on your show. I'm sure many of them are going to be at Economy.
Yeah.
And there are lots of people in your Facebook group. Like I met Rakesh last year, who's awesome. And I think he's going to be there. So, you know, look in those different areas to find, you know, these other sort of not entirely, you know, friend relationships, these kind of parasocial relationships that you can build off of if you need to like get your foot in the door in a couple places to feel comfortable at some of these conferences.
I'm going to go a little bit deeper on this one, like meeting the content creators. And we got a couple more to finish up. We're over the time, but I think this is a kind of a valuable one too. So you should talk to the content creators, and you know, some of the folks will be speakers. You mentioned before, like basically it's super hard to talk to someone after they did their talk. There will be a line of 30 people. Catch them later. Find them later. You have plenty of time to chat with them and stuff. So right after they speak, not a great time, way too crowded. One thing that I've done, like when I met some of these bigger folks, and you know what, I won't mention her name or their name or his name or whomever it is. I actually didn't consume any of their content, so I didn't really know them very well. However, I was chatting with this person and I did know that they were a big deal.
Right.
And I did know that there was a fucking line of people trying to talk to them. So I was like, hey, it's been great chatting with you. I see you have other people that are trying to talk to you, so I'll step away. And they were like, no, actually, I want to talk to you. So I actually like talked longer, but I tried to get away like, I think multiple times.
Right.
And I think that it showed that I respected their time and I wasn't trying to like just monopolize it. Yeah. So just, it's kind of a self-awareness thing where, you know, I actually was enjoying the conversation, but I was just like, I want to make sure that all these other people that are clearly your fans have a chance to chat with you. So, you know, keep that in mind, kind of, you know, you'll have plenty of time to chat with people, at meals or other kind of stuff like that. So do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, the all these events tend to be like over a weekend, and I found most of the speakers, especially at like Campfy, and it seemed like at Economy too, they're there like the whole time. So you don't have to necessarily like feel like you need to go rush up and talk to them right after their talk or their presentation. They're going to be tired. You know, it's a pretty overwhelming experience to give a talk. But if you want to go find them later at pizza or at the brewery or walking out of the auditorium for some completely different thing, it's probably much easier to have a conversation with them than when they're kind of chill and relaxed and ready to talk. Cause a lot of them are there as attendees too. And they're interested in the people who are there.
So to go full circle here, I think it was a couple years ago, I met Brad Barrett for the first time and I listened to Choose FI for a few years. So I, you know, just like we talked about, I felt like I knew him and I met him in passing and I was just like, hey, good to meet you. I enjoy your show. I would like to talk to you more, but I know right now is not a good time. So sometime I'm probably going to try to get you. Is that cool? I put him on the spot. He was like, cool. And sometime later I saw he was hanging out in the lobby and it was kind of a downtime, like just open time. And I was like, hey, is it okay if we talk now? And I think we talked for maybe like 30 minutes straight.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And we, you know, we became friends after that. So like we had enough of a connection through a handful of things, but you know, it's not like I had a list of questions and, you know, drilled them or anything, but like you can't do that. Like we're pointing out there's plenty of time, but if you really do want to talk to someone, you can't be like, hey, I would like to set aside at least a few minutes where I chat with you one-on-one. Kind of a big, you know, if you're an introvert, this is an advanced one, but like you could put yourself out there. They might say no, right? It's like, ah, I'm super busy. You seem creepy, whatever. Like you might not get a positive answer, but you can, you know, take your shot and do it. So, all right, we're going on and on and on, but anything else that we should not do at a conference? Anything you've learned?
I'm trying to think if there's anything new that we haven't already talked about. Mm-hmm. So we talked about like not monopolizing anybody's time, right? Especially if it's someone that you're like, oh, I really want to talk to them because they're like a content creator or someone special, right? But even if it's just, you know, the normal person, you know, someone who's not a content creator, who's just there hanging out and you met them at the, the opening party, right? You don't want to just latch onto them and take up their whole weekend either, right? So we talked about that. We talked about trying not to do too much. Mm-hmm. And we talked about not telling terrible stories or talking about yourself the whole time. Let me see what else might I think maybe the other thing, and we talked about that a little bit too, not to do is don't think that you have to get it all done like right then. Like there's going to be at most of these things, there's going to be more people than you can meet. There's going to be more activities than you can do. And don't feel like this is my one shot to like get involved in this community and I have to do it all at this one event. There are other events. There are other people. The content creators, I promise you, are not the only interesting people at these events. Like there's so many interesting people that if you end up not meeting, I probably 500 people at Economy, I probably didn't meet 300 of them. So there's a lot you're not going to be able to do in this period of time. And I think my biggest recommendation would be not to feel like you have to do all of it because it's this one time like thing.
And finally, I think when you leave, you're going to be tired. You probably will have stayed up too late and all that. So you'll have kind of a post-conference crash where you just got to like regroup. It may end up being like a 2 to 3 day hangover type situation. Yeah. But for me, it's usually just the lack of sleep that gets me. I'm going to actually try to do a little bit better of a job sleeping. And I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. I think if I have enough rest, I'm in good shape. Now, the other kind of crazy thing is getting a cold afterwards. So kind of watch out on that because you will be around a bunch of people that just spend time on planes. You're not getting enough rest. So like whatever routine you have, whether it's working out, I'm pretty much in the gym every morning, pretty weak workout, but like I still go through the motions of going down there and like getting a very light sweat. But yeah, otherwise like your other healthy habits that you could do, like do those kind of things. So I think that wraps it up. You closed up pretty well. You're under the radar. People can't follow you anywhere, but they may see you in a Facebook group here or there.
I'm in the Mile High Five Facebook group. Mm-hmm. I'm also in the Bigger Pockets Money Facebook group. I'm not super active in any of those, but if you're really interested in talking to me at Economy or just for whatever, like I have notifications on those things. So,
all right.
So I love talking about, you know, anything FI related. So definitely catch me there or at some of these events, right? So I'll be at Economy. I'm going to Camp Fi Rocky Mountain week 2. So if you need your parasocial relationship to help kick you into talking to somebody new, definitely feel free to come find me if you want.
All right. Well, this has been awesome. Thanks a lot, JT. Be sure to support Ghostbed. You can sign up for the email list if you want to. I send like maybe half an email to one email per week. The target is like one per week, but I'm not 100% on board there. So you won't get too much stuff. And if you also want to join the Buy Me a Coffee, like I've tried to sort of rekindle that a little bit. So we have a handful of folks that donate. I'm trying my best to like get some ad revenue plus a little support to pay for the lights in here and the hosting and the other kind of stuff. I'll give you stickers, you know, come check out stickers at the Economy or other places. But if you want to check out the Buy Me a Coffee, follow the link. You can see the details there if you want to. So I think that's it. And thanks. I think you're going to be on a couple more episodes soon.
Cool. Thanks. Great. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks for listening to the show. That was the Mile High Five podcast, and I'm Doug Cunnington. If you dig the show, please do 3 things for us. Number 1, tell a friend, a family member, an enemy about the show. We really don't care who you tell. Maybe forward them a specific show that you know that they will like. It's the single most helpful thing that you can do to spread the word. It's like giving us a virtual high five, and actually we don't give high fives in person, so the virtual kind's pretty good. And more importantly, your friend or family member or even your enemy will appreciate the fact that you were thinking of them. Number 2, make sure you're following or subscribed on your podcast app Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, YouTube, whatever you're using. And that way you won't miss a show. And number three, please leave us a rating and review. We read them on the show occasionally, and you might hear yours out there on an upcoming episode. Quick disclaimer, this show is not financial or legal advice. I'd actually be surprised if it sounded like it. It's really just for entertainment, and that's at least what we're hoping for. But seriously, get advice from professionals. So we'll catch y'all next week.
I've been fortunate enough, or at least have convinced enough people that they want me on their show, to have recorded, you know, a couple shows with you and some other friends of ours. And we've talked a little bit before. After every time I record, I find myself like thinking back to what I said. And always there's some case where I'm like, God, that was stupid. Like, why did I say it that way? Why did I frame it that way? That was, you know, not my most eloquent, and I wish I could do it again. Mm-hmm. So my question for you, having professionally spoken words into microphones for several years now, is how do you stop saying stupid things in podcasts?
Well, once I figure it out, I'll let you know.
or at least like, how do you get over, you know, out of all these words, some of them are just going to sound kind of dumb and I need to be like, okay with that and not mm-hmm. keep replaying that in my head.
So I think part of it is exactly what you just said, where I'm just like, I am going to mess up some amount of time and it's okay. Now, the good part is I've done many hours of YouTube, and I think like if I tally it up, I've probably done like over 1,000 podcast episodes too. So there's going to be a lot of it that's probably not that good. And then some of it will be okay and some of it's good. And I think I just accepted that. Now, I think there are other people that I think they take greater care in doing a better job. So these are like the real pros. I'm like a fake. But I'm thinking of Jordan Doc G. Mm. Like, he's a professional speaker and he's done it for years and he's practiced really hard. Like, some people are like, oh, you're natural at whatever.
Right.
Usually someone worked really hard to do it, whether they intentionally did it or not. But I know he prepares for like all his talks and like every pause and like word and probably filler words. He probably puts them in there on purpose. And when it comes down to it, I love the audience, but I don't care enough. Sorry, again. I don't care enough to spend like the amount of time that it would take me to do that. That said, when I know it's a big show, I'll literally like hopefully have questions that they might ask. It's like a job interview. It's just like, go through it. I'll fucking write it all out and like practice it so I have it down. And like, I'm not going to say it exactly, but like basically I have like a blueprint of the answer and usually can come around. So it's just practice.
Yeah. Practice and preparation.
Yeah. That and just knowing like, okay, if I record like, cause at one point I was recording like 4 hours of podcast per week. It's like probably 25% of it is going to be like a little shaky cause I don't edit much either.
Or right.
Producer Chris, thank you for doing this. I like a raw kind of episode. That's what I like to listen to cause it just sounds more real. Do you have any follow-up questions on that? Is that helpful?
Yeah. It sounds like, and this is not much of a surprise, like prepare, practice, and care less.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it. And so how many pods have you been on?
I think this is my fourth time to record with you. And then I think there was one other podcast that I was on.
Okay. Gotcha. And then do you have, well, you agreed to sit with me again. So
yeah.
Do you enjoy it a little bit?
No, I do. I do. I think it's fun.
Yeah. What do you like about it?
Maybe the illusion that there are people out there that are interested in what I have to say. No, I mean, I think at least in the ones that I've done and as a guest, it's just kind of a cool opportunity to take conversations that we have anyway. I mean, we talk, I think everything we've talked about on the podcast, we've talked about just in hanging out with each other.
Yeah.
And it's just an opportunity to think that, well, maybe somebody else will find, you know, this stuff that we think about all the time anyway, mm-hmm. interesting enough to also like listen to and maybe get something out of.
That's exactly why, like, Elizabeth and I, we did, I think we recorded like 16 episodes. The very first podcast, this was like maybe the fall of 2018. We did a few, and then she got a little nervous about like it being out there in the world. Have you ever listened to those? I think I released a couple here and there.
No, did you publish those as part of your other show, or is it a different?
It's a different, it was a whole different feed and everything, but yeah. I still have like the raw episodes, and I think I republished them. It was called Survive the 9 to 5, and I was already self-employed by then, but Elizabeth was nervous that her company would hear it, which I'm like, no one's listening to this. Like, you know, you really don't have to worry about that. But it comes around, like you were saying, like we're having conversations and we're like, we may as well record this. This is cool. Right. And then it goes too far sometimes where it's like, I should try to record like many conversations that we're just normally having. But like I realized there's something special about like not recording it. And then it's just like, it's just conversation right here, right now. And then like it goes away. So yeah. there's some balance,
yeah, yeah.
But like once you start creating content in air quotes, you're like, everything's content. Like people, like it's somewhat entertaining. And how full of yourself are you if you're like, wow, people really need to listen right. to my fucking side conversations about nonsense. So
as someone who's not a content creator, right, who's been on a handful of these shows, I've had some people come, you know, have a conversation with me who considered being a guest on like Mindy's show, right? And they were concerned. And exactly zero people have ever come up to me and were like, hey, I heard you on this podcast and here's what I thought about what you had to say. So I don't know that, you know, those of us who are not in this professionally really need to worry about that.
I think that's about to change for you though.
Maybe. This is the one.